Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. May God bless his word to our hearts. What is Thanksgiving? Isn't that a good question? You know what today is? What is it? Sunday. It's a government designated day. The government says we should be thankful today. And God has designated a day for us to be thankful. And that's every day. You see? And so I think we should go with God's designation rather than the government's. Yep, you're right. Overruled. The government's been overruled, and it's still ruled by him, by the way. He rules the government, he rules all things. So here we are, and you say, well, how do these people out there celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, they go and close their trailers or the cottages, or they go on a shopping spree or a drinking binge or a gluttony trip or something like that. That's how they celebrate Thanksgiving. And who do they thank? Well, they thank themselves, because they're their own gods, you see. And so they worship themselves, and they thank themselves, and they live for themselves, and they live in themselves, and they're a mess. Yeah. You see, they have a problem. Because the scripture says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so they're going around like fools. And they're saying, we're thankful. We're thankful we're fools. You see, that's the way the world out there operates. That's the way it thinks. Because it does not know God. And those of us who are sitting here who are the children of God, we can really be thankful because we know our God. And as we look at Scripture, see that there is a constant repetition by the authors of Scripture of being thankful to God. And I just picked out this Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, so I could just point out some things to you in this psalm that should be our common practice. It should be the way we give thanks, because that's the way they gave thanks back then, and they didn't know as much and have as much as we do now. So we are really a blessed people, and we should really be a thankful people. So first of all, I want to look at the practice of our praise in verse 1. By the way, the word blessed there is a very interesting word in the original. The root of the word comes from kneeling down on your knees. It's a word that deals with worship. Worship in praise and thankfulness. And one of the things we need to understand is that God's ultimate purpose for us is to be people who are on our knees with praise and thankfulness in our hearts. Now, when I'm saying on our knees, I'm not always saying physically, because we should be on our knees physically sometimes, but we can't be on our knees physically all the time. Pretty hard when at work to be on your knees physically and praising and thanking God. So I think it's important for us that we understand that. So we praise God because God is God. And I want you to notice two things in that phrase that we have in verse 1. First of all, it is spiritual. Our praise is spiritual because it is motivated by the Spirit of God. The people out there, they can't praise God because they don't have the Spirit of God within them, and therefore they can't be motivated by the Spirit of God. It says, bless the Lord, bless His holy name. You see, that's spiritual activity. How do you know God is holy? Because the Spirit of God reveals it to you. He shows it to you. He shows you the holiness of God. And so I know God is holy and I can praise Him because it is a spiritual activity that goes on in my heart and life because I know Him. And this is one of the great blessings that we have in our lives. If you go down to the end of that the 103rd chapter of the book of Psalms, verse 21, it says, bless the Lord, all ye His hosts. And then notice the next phrase, ye ministers of His. That's us. We are His servants. We work down here. That do His pleasure. Now, let me just underscore something here. It's a spiritual activity, but you can never properly give thanks and worship God until you're doing His pleasure. You have to be obedient. It's the obedient Christian who can praise God. And he goes on and says, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And it's a spiritual activity. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But just to remind you that it's a spiritual activity. It should be spiritual. Second, it should be total. Not only spiritual, it should be total. Notice what he says. All that is within me. You notice where he starts. He says, oh my soul. And then he says, all that is within me. Our worship begins in our heart. Our worship begins in our heart. How do I worship from the heart? You know how I worship from the heart? I had a heart transplant. Yeah, He took out my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And so now I got a heart transplant, and now I can worship God. He gave me a new heart. He gave me a heart that can worship Him. And so I can. It starts in my heart. It starts in what God has done for me in giving me a new heart. And now, he says, it should consume my whole person. My whole person should be consumed with thanksgiving. He says, all that is within me. Everything. Do you ever get excited? About your spiritual life, I mean. You know? Do you ever stop and think of the marvel? Does it ever shake you from the inside out to think that God loved you so much He gave His Son to come and die? See, that should stir thanksgiving in our beings. It should make us give us the rickets. I believe for my own self, because of my own experience, that the fact that I don't get excited about my salvation is I'm not searching enough about it and trying to find out enough about it. But notice he says it has to be total. You know what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18? He says, whenever you have good things done to you, give thanks. All things, yeah. In everything. When you break your leg, give thanks. You see? We should learn that there is nothing that is happening to me, and we'll talk about this a little bit again as we look further in this section, but there's nothing that happens to me that God is not in control of. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, thank him then. You see? We should be thanking him. We should be thanking him. It says that we are God's people and we should give thanks. Did you know that it is considered a sin and satanic not to give thanks? Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, he says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, also were unthankful. Wow. You see, that's what Satan does in the heart. See, he robs us of thankfulness. Have you ever noticed that when you allow sin into your life, you're less thankful? You see, sin smudges thankfulness. It wipes it out. And so he says, but they became vain in their imaginations. Does it sound like the world we live in today? And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. So we are wise. Why are we wise? Because we've got Christ in us, and the scripture says he is our wisdom. He is our wisdom. And so I have wisdom, not because I'm a wise guy, but because Christ is in me, and his wisdom is in me, and I can draw upon that wisdom always, constantly, every day. It's there for me, because he never leaves me nor forsakes me. See? And so this is very important. And so we gotta love God with all our hearts. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with everything. And he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And I can't do that except for the grace of God. And that's the wonderful part of our Christian life. The grace of God makes it all possible. What a great thing. So that's the practice of our praise, but it all evolves around the second point there, and that's what I call the person of our praise. Who are we praising anyway? What are we praising? Like I said, the world just praises themselves. Who are we praising? Well, we're praising a triune God, Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We praise all three for the way they function and for what they have done for us as the Almighty God, as the Creator of heaven and earth. So we have to understand that to give thanks, we have to know our God. And this is vital and important for us. We must know who He is, what He has done for us, and how all of that is a blessing to us as the people of God. First of all, the psalmist says we have to know his majesty. We have to know his majesty. And my question I ask myself every morning when I get up and don't like to get out of bed and, you know, that kind of stuff, I always say, how big is your God? How big is your God? How big is your God? You see? That's a good question to start the day with. How big is your God? He says the word, notice he says, bless be what? Lord. Lord. That word in the Hebrew is Yahweh. And the word Yahweh means Almighty, the Almighty. God is the majestic, Almighty God. We were kids, I shouldn't say we were kids. When I was teaching kids, we used to always get them to sing that song, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. You see, I think we have to understand the greatness of our God before we will really have a heart of thanks. How great is God in my sight? How great is God? In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust him. For who is God save the Lord?" In other words, there's no other God. They have a CD at home, and it's got Negro spirituals on it. And one of the Negro spirituals says, you know, their God's got ears, but they can't hear. They got eyes, but they can't see. They got hands, but they can't do anything. They got feet, but they can't walk. They got mouths, but they can't speak. And it says, my God do what he please. My God do what he please. He's in charge, you see. He's God, and he's in charge, and he's almighty, and he can do anything and everything. And so if I have that kind of God, a God who is my strength and my power and who makes my way perfect, that's what he says. If I have that kind of God, why do I worry? I should just be living in thankfulness, shouldn't I? To have a great God like that. And so, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. He says, sing praises to God, sing praises to God. And so I sing praise to him because he is the Almighty God. And that's vital and important. But there's one thing that's even more important than his majesty. And we see it here in this first verse again. And that's his perfection. His perfection. He is a holy God. Notice it says, bless his holy name. The word name means character. Bless his holy character. And I think it's important for us to realize that we have to understand that if God is holy, he's perfect, he never does anything wrong, then how can I ever look at God and say, well, God, you know, I think it would have been better if you had done it this way. Have you ever said that? No. Well, you're better than I am. You know, because I look at the outward circumstances and I don't understand the whole thing. But I've learned one thing. What do I know? What do I know? He knows it all. And he's perfect. And so everything he does is perfect. Isaiah says in that sixth chapter you read, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And it says there was the cherubim and they all had six wings. And it tells you all what they did with their wings. And he says, one cried unto the other and said what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I want you to notice the order, because that's vital. His holiness is his overriding character, and it even controls his might. His might acts based on his perfection and holiness. And so God is a God who is perfectly holy. When you get to the book of Revelation and you get to the end and they're in heaven and the angels are still up there and they're still singing in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, holy, holy, holy. That's all they do day and night. Do you sing the perfection of your God? Do you find that perfection? So God is a God of perfection. And if we are to understand our God, we must understand his majesty and his perfection and understand that I can trust him because he is a perfect God. And everything he does is perfect, whether I think so or not. And God's really not concerned about what I think anyway. But God loves me so much, and his love is perfect, and his love is majestic. And so I know that whatever God does is perfectly right and mighty and has his stamp on it. And I know another thing, that nothing can happen to me that he's not in control of. Isn't that comforting? Wow. You know, I think that's a great thing. So, that's the person. What kind of God am I worshiping? What kind of God am I worshiping? They're big, strong and mighty. Yeah. We have to see the majesty of our God. And I'm going to give you six things that he tells us that we should praise him for. There are six provisions in verses 2-5, and I'm not going to have time to look at all of them in detail, which I'd like to, but I won't, because you might stand up and leave. So, but there are six things there that are vital and important, and it's interesting how he starts. The first thing is salvation. Notice what he says. In verse 2, he says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everything we have that God has given us is beneficial for us. And he says, first of all, in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's salvation. That's salvation. The first thing God has done for us so that we can be people of thanks is he saved us. That's the first thing. He took care of our sin problem. He buried our iniquities in the deepest sea, and he doesn't remember them no more. We were talking about that a couple weeks ago. You remember them, but he doesn't. And why don't you put them where he put them? He took care of them for you. They're in the depths of the sea, and you can deal with them. And then the second thing he deals with here is our sanctification. Notice it says, who healeth all thy diseases. And that deals with sanctification. And of course, I know if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "He by his stripes we are healed." And there's always a big discussion about, what does that mean? What is he saying? I always like to go back to the Bible because it usually has the answers for us. If you need an answer for anything, just go back to the Bible. The book's got the answers. And Peter tells us, he says, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that being dead to sins, we should live unto righteousness. See, that's sanctification. He died so that we could live unto righteousness. And then what's the next phrase there? By whose stripes we are healed. He heals us so we can be holy people. He makes us the kind of people he wants us to be. And so there, the psalmist says, he not only saves me, he sanctifies me. Isn't that wonderful? He makes me holy. He makes me what I am. He makes me the kind of person I should be. And then the fourth thing he's praising God for is not only salvation and sanctification, but security. Notice verse 4. He says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now, that's security. That's security. I have been saved, and you have been saved from the destruction of hell. And if you don't think that's security, then what's security? You see, that's security. Isn't it wonderful? God saved us from hell. That's the great security we have. And I like the way Jesus put it in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 30. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's security, you see. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's security. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. That goes back to his person, you see. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, that's security, you see. And then he says, I and the Father are one. Now, do you need any more security than that? Isn't it wonderful? We've got the security of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And like Jesus said, that he will keep us from falling and present us faultless before the throne. Then there is the fourth thing, and that's safety. Safety. He says in verse 4, the second half, it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Let me give you a little understanding, because the terms there are interesting. It says, who crowneth thee. The verb there means he encompasses us. He encompasses us with loving kindness. That word loving kindness can also be translated faithfulness. We're encompassed by the faithfulness of God. You see, that's safety. When I'm in the shelter of his faithfulness, then everything is fine. And then he says, and tender mercies. That word mercies means affection or compassionate. I'm encompassed with the tender compassion of God. God loves me and cares for me, and he, his tender compassion encompasses me. That's safety, you see, that's safety. And then the fifth thing is satisfaction. Satisfaction. It says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Have you met Christians who aren't satisfied? You know, they're what I call mushtaki batahai Christians. That's a nice word. You never heard that before, did you? That's a Somali word. And when a Somali came to you, you see, he had a complaint about something, he would use that word, but literally translate it means I'm a complainer. I'm a complainer. And so often that's the way we operate as Christians, isn't it? We are complainers. But if we are in him and we are encompassed by his faithfulness and his affection, then we should not be complainers. We should be satisfied. And he has promised to satisfy. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. That's God's promise to us, you see. And he's going to fill us, and he's going to satisfy us spiritually, and he's going to give us everything we need spiritually. And by the way, God puts it on the table, but we have to feed ourselves. See that book? Well, I can't put it on my head and absorb it. I have to open it and read it and study it and work in it and learn from it. But it's all there. God has given it to me. God has given it to me. And so I can study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's vital for me. So there's satisfaction. Jesus, in his words to the church at Laodicea, said, I'm standing at the door knocking, and I want to come in, and I want to eat with you and have you eat with me and have fellowship together. You see, that's satisfaction. That's satisfaction. Are we leaving him outside the door? See, we have to ask ourselves that as a church and as individuals. Are we leaving Christ outside the door? Are we leaving him outside the door? You see, as Tozer said, he talked about the waning authority of Christ in the church. Christ, and we'll see this as we get back into the book of Colossians, is the head of the church. It's his church. It's his church. Not mine, not yours. It's his. He's just given us the privilege to be part of it down here, which is a great thing. And then finally, the sixth thing is strength. Strength. He gives us strength. It says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There's a connection there, and I want you to notice that, between the satisfaction of being fed by God and being renewed. You can't be renewed without being fed by God. And so what he's doing is he is telling us that we can find strength and be renewed by God as we are satisfied with the abundance that he gives us. Someone has said, just put a spiritual application to this in your mind. He's talking about an eagle, and he said, an eagle is the monarch of the air. He has new feathers each year. He attains great age, has wonderful vision, and is majestic in flight. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. You see? And so we are blessed by God. So, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Here we are on Thanksgiving. What is my motto as a Christian? I thought, here's a good one for you. I'm not getting older, I'm getting better. And that's the way it should be in our Christian life. I'm not getting older, I'm getting better. I'm getting better because of all of those things that God has provided for me through His majestic power, through His majestic power and His great compassion and love for me. And I have all of those things so that I can praise God. And let me just say, from my own perspective and my own experience, that the more I understand my God, the more I understand what He's done for me, the more I can thank Him for the provisions that He's made for me, whether they're spiritual or whether they're physical, because I know that every good thing comes from the hand of my Almighty God. And so I can stand up and I can say, thank you, Lord, because I know my God. In Daniel, there's a verse, it says, in the people that do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits, and they that understand amongst the people shall instruct many. May God make us those kind of people, people that know their God and understand and can praise Him. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for what You've done for us. Thank You for the great provision of Your person in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so we can be people who are distinct and different, as Peter put it, peculiar people, different, distinct in this world. Thank You, Father, for what You're going to do in us, in this church, and for what You're going to do even in bringing a man of God into our midst to be our teacher and instructor. This do to the glory of Your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.